Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th day of May, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Before we do the news, let me welcome Dennis back, Dennis Worster, who has graciously decided to step in for Steve Ray, who is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest.
Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And that means that those of you who are sitting around not listening except waiting for the YouTube channel to start up, there won't be one this week.
Sorry, guys.
Which means that we can sit here and make faces and rude Italian street gestures.
Well,
and no one will know.
Well, no more than usual.
No more than usual. But now we can do it above the desk.
That's right.
All right, Google kicked off its annual I.O. Developer Conference at Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California this week. Just before the keynote, Google announced it's rebranding its Google Research division to Google AI. The move signals how Google is increasingly focused R&D on computer vision, natural language processing, and neural networks, all parts of artificial intelligence. Google announced a continued conversation update to Google Assistant that makes talking to the assistant feel more natural. Now, instead of having to give one of the two key trigger words, which I will not say,
yes,
you're welcome, every time you want to say a command, you'll only have to do so the first time.
We just need we need substitutions. You know, my sister taught me one. She says, whenever she describes it, she says, Alaska.
Alaska.
And it works great because you know exactly what she's talking about, but you also know that it's not going to trigger that lady in the can or the Hufflepuff.
The lady in the can. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Let him out.
I actually have that at home.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
My kids have no concept. I tried to explain it to them. They said, what's a prank call?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, when, of course, you're calling on a cell phone, everybody knows your number.
That's right.
Knows who it is. You can't really prank anybody. Google is also adding a new feature. So you get to ask a question, and you can ask multiple questions in the same request. So instead of having to say, oi, every time you want to ask a question, you go, oi, you know, how far is it to Mars? And when it tells you, you can then say, what's that in kilometers? And et cetera, et cetera. So,
right, you can chain those requests.
Right, right, without having to say oi again.
And it maintains the context.
Yep. And this is important because when you're having a typical conversation, odds are you're asking follow-up questions. You didn't get the answer. If you're asking follow-up questions, you didn't get the answer you wanted. But it can be jarring to have to say the trigger phrase every single time. And it breaks the whole flow and makes the process feel pretty unnatural. So they're going to fix that. Some of this stuff is rolling out slowly. So if it's not happening on your device right now, don't call up and yell at us.
Because talking to a lady is completely natural by itself, and you know,
sure,
say that's a magic command
for some of us. It
wake
is
up
sure
and pay attention.
Right. Google Photos. Right. Google Photos already makes it easy for you to correct photos with built-in editing tools and AI-powered features for automatically creating collages, movies, and stylized photos. Now, Photos is getting more AI-powered fixes like black and white photo colorization, brightness correction, and suggested rotations. Google's first smart displays will launch in July and, of course, will be powered by Google Assistant and YouTube. It's clear that the company's invested some resources into building a visual-first version of Assistant, justifying the addition of a screen to the experience. Google Assistant is coming to Google Maps, available on iOS and Android later this summer. The addition is meant to provide better recommendations to users. As the war for creating customized AI hardware heats up, Google said that it is rolling out its third generation of silicon, the Tensor Processor Unit 3.0. Google CEO Sundar Pichai said the new TPU pod is 8 times more powerful than last year, with up to 100 petaflops in performance. Or in layman's terms, a bucket load.
A whole bunch.
Yeah. Watch out, Facebook. Google is also planning to leverage AI in a revamped version of Google News. The AI-powered redesigned news destination app will allow users to keep up with the news they care about, understand the full story, and enjoy support the publishers they trust. Of course, I worry that that just ramps up the volume on the echo chamber.
Oh, for sure.
Google also showed off Google Duplex. This was both amazing and scary. Google Duplex actually seems to beat the Turing test. No, it doesn't just beat the Turing test. It takes it out back and kills it with a hammer. It's amazing. They demoed it making appointments and reservations in real time to real people,
right,
who didn't ever tumble to the fact that they were talking to a computer. And it wasn't, you should go find these YouTube videos.
Yes.
They are amazing. They are made. They talk to a lady who clearly English is not her first language, and it understood and dealt with everything she said.
Absolutely.
And it was kind of amazing. And it dealt with it in a human sound. It even put in ums and ahs.
That's right. Yeah, you know, speech synthesis is something that has been coming around for decades, and it has gotten considerably better in the past, say, 10 years or so. I know that Apple's been working on this, and they were the one of the first places I saw that would actually put in breath sounds, so you'd hear the
yeah
in between sentences.
Yep.
And that made it considerably more more human sounding, I will say. So the Google stuff, I've been following this over the course of the week, and what I found is there are kind of two camps here. There are people that say, OMG.
Yeah.
As a technical achievement, this is really, really impressive.
Yep.
And I agree with them. It is really, really impressive.
Yeah, me too.
Then there are the people that say, sure, it's impressive, but
right. Right.
Consider the following.
And I'm firmly, my other foot is firmly in that camp.
Right. So I see both sides of
yep.
this very, very
yep.
much. And
it's kind of amazing, though.
The one thing I would like to see is that this could be used for people who aren't comfortable speaking on the phone for whatever reason. Maybe
right.
they have a medical condition, or right. maybe they have some other challenge that makes life difficult for them.
Right.
And this is a way to leverage technology to help make their life better. What I unfortunately seem to be seeing is that this makes a lot of tech bros in the Valley echo chamber that their time is more valuable than somebody else's, and therefore, wave my hand. I'll just have my virtual assistant handle it.
Well, you know, we're now getting closer to the Star Trek computer.
Sure.
Well, you can say computer. Oh dear, that's a trigger word too, because you can change it to
for Alaska.
For Alaska.
Right.
When you can say to your device, call and make an appointment. And it will call, it will make the appointment correctly, and it will put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
And if you listen to this video, the computer, the one for the making appointment at a hair salon, is doing Valley speak.
Right.
Well, at least the inflection.
Yeah, the uptalk at the end of the sentence.
Yeah. Hi, I'd like to make an appointment. What?
Yeah. It's different. It's a new and exciting time.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And there's a bunch of new voices, including John Legend, by the way. John Legend's
okay.
voice will be available for Google.
He can make your haircut appointments?
He can make your haircut appointments. There's your smooth voice. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google I.O. announcements. Your choices are amazing stuff. Pretty cool, I must admit. Can't wait until Apple invents this stuff. But does it work on my flip phone? Which is, of course, the number one vote right now, because I know you people. and so far, 20 of you have voted. So please go there and vote. And then when you're done with that, if you scroll down, I know you'll have more to say. Scroll down on the right and under Fascinating Stuff. The first link there is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the first poll discussion item is 12 May 18, Google I.O. announcements. It really would behoove you to go find those YouTube videos first. They are jaw-dropping.
It's a new milestone in the technology, for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And you go, and they pan out to the audience, and there are, of course, the fanboys and fangirls who are just screaming at how joyful it is. And there's one guy they cut to who's looking at it going, holy moly, I can see the future and it may not be good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people, like I said, there's a lot of people that are kind of seeing it in a couple of different ways, and it still remains to be seen what's going on. We're in kind of the Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park situation of just because you could doesn't necessarily mean that you should have.
Exactly. All right, you can give us a call here to talk about that and, well, dang near anything. And the numbers are easy to remember, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Excuse me, one thing we should remind folks, unless they live under a rock, that tomorrow is Mother's Day, and we hear sound bites.
They're doing that again?
Every year for some reason, I don't know.
Just keeps popping up.
Huh. All right, hang on, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh, luckily
and,
the stores
you know,
are
we're
open.
Wishing all the mothers out there, you know, a very happy Mother's Day, and hope you have a good day tomorrow. It's supposed to be a decent day.
Yeah.
Lilac Festival's in bloom, so go out and check that.
That's true.
And for those of you listening who have not yet bought something for your mother, you probably should. You have time.
Make an excuse. Go find your keys.
Right.
You can make it happen.
Right, exactly.
But yes, thanks to all the moms out there for doing what you do every single day.
Every single day. God bless them. It's a...
what's that?
I don't know. I was just confused for a moment. I got that way. I was lost in thought. It's unfamiliar territory. So the Google I.O., a lot of other things happened, but those are the big ones. And for me, the really big one is Google Duplex, which should be rolling out sometime this summer. And it's both going to be, it really is going to be great to be able to, you know, put a lot of that stuff off onto the assistant.
Right.
But it's kind of creepy.
But the problem is, it's really good at only, the demo is always like the perfect situation as an advertisement to describe, hey, here's what we've achieved.
Right.
So the big question will be, much like when I ask Siri and 2/3 of the time it doesn't come back with a useful answer.
Right.
Will this be able to do what I need it to do on a consistent basis?
Right. Well, and that's what Google is clearly working toward.
Right.
You know, if you go to their blog, there's a whole bunch of samples of this happening. And
but when I go get a haircut, I'm going to my app on my phone. I'm tapping on the location I want to go to. And they tell me when they're available. I check in, and then I show up.
Right.
You know, I didn't have to talk to anybody. I didn't even have to issue a command. It was so much easier. So
for you it was.
I guess.
You know, for other people who don't have that app or cannot use a for the visually impaired.
Sure. Okay.
This will be amazing.
Right.
And for people who are too stinking lazy to pick up their stinking phone to do their stinking own thing.
Right.
The ability to say, make an appointment for me. I mean, I think I will say when I sit down at my computer and I'm getting ready to work and suddenly there's a cat in my arms.
Sure.
It has teleported into my arms and wants some of the worship it knows it deserves.
My dog is similar.
Because you neglect them so bad.
Because I neglect them so badly.
It wiggles up under my elbow.
They look the
ability,
so pathetic.
Right. The ability to say, you know, play this music or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
So that I don't, because I got 20 pounds of cat in my arm. And he is a 20 pounder.
Okay.
Yeah. And legitimately 20 pounds. It's all muscle. A little bit of fat, but mostly muscle. Mostly muscle. And, you know, I got 20 pounds of cat, and I'm just going, you know what, play this music.
Right.
And it just happens. So when you're super busy or you're doing six things at once and et cetera, the ability to say, you know, make a hair appointment or a whatever is theoretically a good thing.
So what happens, I guess I need to see more of the videos. I want to know what happens when things go sideways, when the person on the other end does recognize that it's a machine.
Well,
or
wait until you see
when it
them.
Gives an answer that wasn't expected.
Yep, wait till you see them and tell me how scary they are to you. We're
going to
take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's night, and Barry's sitting patiently on the phone. It's Sound Bites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Barry from Rochester, New York, patiently waiting on the line. Thanks for waiting, Barry. What's your question?
This is Gary.
Gary
with a G, but that's all right.
Sorry.
We'll update that.
I called last week with a problem about backing up to a separate hard drive.
Right. Check the backup shadow copy.
Right. And I looked and looked on your website to find the link that Steve Ray said that he'd post, and I really can't find it. My guess is he was going to post a web address where I could find out about it. And I'm sorry, I just couldn't find it. I started to look on the Microsoft web page, and my guess is that I will find it eventually. But if you could tell me the exact link, it would be a real big help.
You're right. I don't see it either, and I don't know why.
We'll have to elbow Steve.
See
what we can do.
I'll tell you what. I don't have it in my head right at this moment, but I will get it. I will get it put on the website by the end of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Am I right though in thinking that it would be on the Microsoft website? It's a Windows 10.
I really don't know where at this moment. I don't know where, but it's certainly there somewhere, and we will find it and get it up.
Thanks so much.
Yep, not a problem, Gary. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to it or where it went, but we'll figure it out. What Gary is talking about is he was doing an upgrade last week. He was doing a Windows backup, actually. From his laptop, two backups to different drives, and some files were skipped. And okay. It said check the backup shadow copy. Problems with the VSS and SPP. And we see this sometimes. At first I thought his problem was that he was trying to back up files that were open.
Okay.
Excuse me, I beg your pardon, but it wasn't that at all. So we'll have to see what. I'm sorry, Dave.
We'll
is there something
up.
You wanted to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, Steve's
get
got
in
the
there.
Steve's got the YouTube stream up.
Oh, good.
Oh, well done, Steve. Thanks.
Okay. So
I was hoping he was going to reply to that question that a gentleman just asked, but nothing came up on it. But he did put up a while ago, so the stream has been up since like 5 after.
Perfect. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Only his audio, of course.
Well, yeah.
But that's fine.
It's still something. It's better than poking the eye with a sharp stick.
Right. And I do see, I went through my history and I've got the page, so I will put up a post during the break.
Yeah, cool.
That will do that. Help carry out. I apologize. I don't know where it is. You're right. I don't see it here either. We'll just have to blame Steve because he's not here.
That works for me.
So during the break,
he's going to call and he's going to send us another text now about that.
I did check out the video during the break of the Google Duplex assistant that they're doing, and man, it is really something.
Right? Unbelievable!
It is definitely the next generation of this type of interaction.
When you see the one, particularly with the restaurant reservation.
Right.
The one where the lady's English is clearly not her first language.
Right.
And she clearly.
It was an Asian restaurant.
Right. She clearly is not entirely understanding the very clear things that Google Duplex is saying.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But she's not quite with
comprehending it.
Right.
But it could be bad audio as well. I mean,
it could be a bunch of things.
The
I'm just saying that they're not together.
Right,
yeah.
And it still kind of gets to where it needs to be, even though the answers are not what it expected or wanted.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. And like I said, on the Google blog, there are more of those. So, yeah, it's pretty cool and it's pretty scary at the same time. And of course, now the question becomes if this Google Duplex is waiting for you to always bring it to life. It clearly is doing the same thing that Siri does and Alexa does and yes. Google mm-hmm. Home does, which is listen all the time.
Yeah,
you know, the Home Pod, right?
Yes,
that one. They're listening all the time, and the question is it throwing it away again when it doesn't hear the trigger word,
right?
Or is it keeping it? And the question becomes, who do you trust? And yada 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 yada. So
you know, I was talking to some friends that about computers and that. And we stopped and think about these because he was getting one of those Alexa units.
Yeah.
Yes.
And saying, you know, how far it's come since we used to worry about dragon speak and talking and enunciating just so precisely mm-hmm. that it would do things, even just simple typing, to come this far in such a short time.
Right.
It is really amazing that we got a device that you can literally ask it anything.
Yep.
And it comes up with it.
That's true.
I mean,
I'm still amazed that I can dictate into my phone or into my iPad, and it will transcribe that in real time
yeah.
so that I can just say, okay, yeah, send that as a text message, or okay, yeah, that is the email that I intended to reply with.
Right. If you're a person who uses Google Docs, mm-hmm. you can do that right in a document. You can dictate
yeah.
into the document.
That's true. Yep.
Now, because it's dictation, you have to say things like period or new paragraph,
right.
but that's you would have to do that anyway if you were dictating to someone.
Yeah, and you know, it gets even crazier than that. I work at the Eastman School of Music, and we have a lot
That's crazy.
Well, it gets better.
That he works.
Listen to this.
That he works. And they pay him for it?
And they pay him for it. We didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, people say, do you work here? I say, well, I get paid here.
Yeah, right.
No, but seriously, folks. So we have professors that come in from all around the world, and they've got their Apple laptops that we issue to them. And what they've done is they've turned on dictation, but they've also turned on dictation in other languages. Like we have some folks from Germany who speak very fluent German, but they want to dictate to write their papers in German. So Apple's native into the OS dictation software, when they switch it over to German mode, will let them speak German into the microphone,
yep.
and it all just gets laid down perfectly.
Yeah.
So it's not even just English. It's all kinds of things. So amazing to see.
It's many languages. It's many languages.
How far it's come.
That's, yep.
In such a short time.
Oh yeah, I was in college in the 90s, and the big thing in terms of
so was I, but they were paying me.
Yeah, I was paying you.
Yes, you were
for the next 10 years.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I had a roommate, and he and I were always interested in technology and seeing where things went. And there was this program that was available called Power Secretary. And he had managed to finagle a copy from some location and was trying it out. But it was one of those ones that you had to train
yes.
back in the day, where you had to go through the dictionary, not the whole dictionary, but certain words so it could understand the phenomes.
Your enunciation had to be precise.
So it was
to give you pages of stuff to read.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So it was a Tuesday night, and we had nothing else going on, and we'd already been to our classes and gone and had dinner. And we were just kind of relaxing, and he was sitting in front of his machine. He had a microphone, and he was just saying words. And they made you say it several times. So he would say, like, secretary, secretary,
yeah.
secretary. And then he had to say deciduous, deciduous. And it was all these words that
I remember
wouldn't
those.
Generally use this. So he got up to one, and after a while I start tuning him out because he's
right.
just saying words over and over and over, and he's trying to be very careful about it because this sounds awesome if you could get it to work. You know, I could just sit there and talk all my papers, speak them, and have them dictated for me. I wouldn't have to type. I could talk much faster than I type. So
right.
Time goes on, and suddenly I hear something that just sounds a little weird, and my eyebrow goes up, and I look over, and he's saying, Sasquatchian, Sasquatchian, Sasquatchian. And I'm thinking, why the heck is he saying this word? How could it possibly make sense? And my brain is trying to run through all the permutations, and I'm thinking, no, it's an adjective, right? So it means of or like or relating to a Sasquatch, right?
Right.
So that's clearly what's going on. So then I look over and I look at him, and he's just saying it very intently and earnestly into the microphone. And I look over at his screen. I'm thinking, why is it possibly showing this? And what part of the dictionary could this be from? No. I look over and I look at him and I read his monitor and I look back at him. And I say, no, dude, that's Saskatchewan.
There you go.
So he goes, oh, Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And then if you get a cold.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, you get a slightest cold or stuffy nose or that.
All right, but now the Google, if you go into Google Docs and go into tools, voice typing, and you can turn it on and it will work. And it, of course, it always works better with a microphone and a headset, blah, 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 blah. But it works, and it picks up all kinds of accents and all kinds of languages and all kinds of everything.
Right.
And the way that works is Google did a brilliant thing. They have a thing called Google Voice, and it will take a phone call and transcribe it and give you the text.
That's right. Yeah.
And in the early days, and you can still do this, I think, in the early days, they asked people to correct the transcription.
Right. Right.
So millions of people, they crowdsourced training their apps to understand language and to understand dialects and people with speech impediments and people with accents and everything. And hundreds of millions of people apparently did this, bought into it and did it.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons that Google Voice is so clear now. And still, if you mumble,
garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage
right?
in, garbage out. There's no question.
But remember, Goog 411 was kind of a precursor to that. So,
right.
Kids, ask your parents what 411 is. But
yeah.
So 411 was a way to get information without having to go to the phone book. Kids, ask your parents what a phone book is.
Yeah.
So if you needed a phone number to be able to call a local business, this allowed you to do that.
Yeah, you would dial 411. Kids, ask your parents what dialing is. Dear heaven.
It was great. This was a way to ask Google for the phone number for your local pizza place, and then it would go and look it up and go dip, 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 and then come back and say, did you mean Joe's Pizza on 123 Main Street? And then they said, if you say yes, then it would go and it would call them right away and let you use the Google Voice tool.
Oh, see, I did it back in the day when you actually spoke to a human being.
Okay.
It wasn't quite, Mabel, get me Floyd over in the barbershop.
But
it was close.
Okay. So Mabel was your lady in the cylinder.
Yeah, right. Mabel was the lady in the cylinder.
The more things change, guys, the more they stay the same.
That's the truth. Yeah.
Just a quick one. Steve said he did post the link last week, but doesn't know what happened to it.
Right. Yeah, me either. I'll post it again this week. I assumed he did, actually, but I'll post it again this week, and we'll see what happens. I'll post it during the break so that Gary can get his link, and that'll be fine. And our next caller is David from Brighton, New York. Hiya, David. What's up?
Hi. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I recently acquired a Samsung Galaxy Tab A. It's a little tablet, and it comes bundled with some version of Microsoft Office, including Word. And someone sent me some Word files as attachments to an email, and I'm able to open them and read them fine, and I save them. But when I try to delete one of these Word files, I get a message that says, do not have permission. And I can't understand. I'm used to the Apple environment in which there's a trash where you could just trash anything easily. This, no matter what I do, I don't seem to be able to delete these files. Is there a reason and is there a workaround?
It could be one of a couple of different things. If you opened it and saved it to your hard drive before you edited it, or you saved the version you edited to your hard drive, to the storage in the device, you should be able to delete that. Is that what you can't delete, or is it the one in the email message, or however
That's
you got it?
That's the one I saved to the device.
Huh.
Does it make any difference that these were read-only files that were sent?
Well, the person who sent them to you may have indeed sent them read-only.
That is correct. They did send them as read-only.
Okay. That may be your issue right there.
But you'd still be able to delete them.
Yeah.
Right.
So
what you need to do is take ownership of Android files.
Okay.
And you can do that. And I will, apparently not that one. Oh, I can't get there from Yar. Because I hate, okay. All right, okay. Hold on. Let me try this link. All right. I have a
mashing of teeth.
I have a
furrowing of brow. All right.
I have a link, and
here's how it's going to be. See?
No, it's telling me you have to root it. No. No.
Jeez. That's a long way to go.
That's a long way to go.
Way to go, Android. User friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
All right.
Oh, I see. I'll figure it out. I'll find a workable, intelligent link, and I will send it to you.
Great.
Not send it to you. I will put it. I will post it on our website.
Soundbites.org.
Bites
with a Y, right?
Perfect. Thank you very much. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
We love to hear that. Thanks. Yeah, I just have to find one that's got a reasonable thing, because most of these are just too long. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And before we go any farther, let me say once again to David from Brighton, who I know is still listening. Because
of course
he is.
Why wouldn't he be?
I actually had a thought before I found anything, and here's what you should try. It is very possible that when you created that file, I don't know what application you were using, but let's say it was Polaris Office. When you save it in Polaris Office, the owner is Polaris Office. So you have to go into Polaris Office and delete the file from there. And I don't have Polaris Office on my phone, so I can't tell you exactly how to do that, but there, you just look through the menus and you will find a way to do that.
Right.
If that doesn't work, call me back and we'll find some other way to handle this. But that should be whatever application you use to open it, to create it and save it, is the app that should be able to delete it. So you should be fine.
Right. Yeah. Being able to delete things from in the app reminds me of a story, again, from my childhood mobile years ago. Well, back in the day when you had standalone computers that were in a lab environment in a high school, and generally it was a fight between the administrators who wanted to lock things down as much as they could and the students who had no accountability or responsibility for the machines whatsoever, so they didn't really feel like playing by the rules all the time.
There's no better...
Okay.
So, yeah, thanks. We found out that, I think it was from inside Microsoft Word, if you went to the open or save dialog where you were making a document, there was also a button that had the word delete in it. So you could go and pick and find folders on the hard drive and then click the delete button and poof, they were gone.
Yep.
And no management tool had the ability to override that at the time.
Right.
So doing things from inside the app always felt a little weird. And now that we're in the iOS and Android world, seeing that again, it's the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, that's exactly right. There's nothing new under the sun.
Kind of thing.
And of course, those were in the days when you only had one essentially login.
Yeah.
And so everybody used it and all the files were open to everybody.
Open to everybody. That's right.
Right. That's why we always told people use a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
We had students all the time in the early days come in and say, I can't find my files.
Okay.
And I say, well, give me your thumb drive. It's not on a thumb drive. It's on one of your lab machines.
Yeah.
No, it isn't, actually.
Not anymore.
No, it isn't. No.
But they were confident that it was.
You see the big green sign and the big yellow sign and the big red sign that all say, save your work to your own thumb drive?
Yes.
What do you think that means, just off chance?
If you don't follow the rules, you can't be surprised at the results, right?
Yes, you can. Apparently, you can.
Well, you could try.
Yeah,
you can. In an unjustified way.
You can try. All right, I'm going to read a news item here because this is, it's Windows 10.
Okay, let's hear it.
While Windows 10 barely got a mention at Build 2018, which is Microsoft's developer conference.
Okay.
Like I.O. was Google's developer conference.
Yes.
And Apple has...
The WWDC, the Worldwide Developer Conference, which is coming up soon.
Right. Or what would somebody do? I don't know. While Windows 10 barely got a mention at Build 2018, Microsoft has released a new preview for PCs with Sets, Clipboard, a dark theme.
Clipboard? We'll have to talk about that later.
Cloud Clipboard.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Synchronized clipboard between your devices.
A new notepad, search, start, and setting improvements. This build is from the RS5 branch, which represents the Windows 10 update the company plans to release later this year. Windows 10 is being developed as a service.
Okay.
We tell people that every week, and every week somebody sends me a note or whatever and says, really? What does that mean? And we already told you, it's going to be a service.
We've been warning folks.
You pay for it every year. You will come to the point where you will not be buying Windows, you will be renting Windows.
Right. And it's already that way with Microsoft Office. You know, that's right. An option you have.
Right. It's an option you have. Eventually, it will not be an option. It is being developed as a service, and that means, of course, it does receive regular new features on a regular basis. Microsoft has released 5 major updates so far. November update, anniversary update, creators update, fall creators update, April 2018 update.
Yes.
That's 5.
And don't forget the extra special update.
The extra special update. We had to fix this update.
The update.
Yeah. Microsoft continues to tweak Sets, which is its new tabbed Windows interface. There's a new acrylic title bar, courtesy of Microsoft's Fluent Design.
Okay.
Alt-Tab now includes Edge tabs.
All right.
And finally, tabs will now restore with better performance by opening in the background and using no resources to bring to the forefront. Microsoft, and that's in, again, Edge. Microsoft is adding some cloud functionality to the Windows clipboard, letting you paste something you have pasted before and paste it across devices. So when you hit Win... plus V as opposed to Control plus V.
Okay.
So the Windows key V instead of Control V. You'll be able to paste from clipboard history, even pin items you find yourself pasting more than once. Your clipboard will also roam via timeline and sets, which for now means it will show up across any PC running this build or higher. The Windows 10 dark theme has arrived in File Explorer. The dark theme also now supports File Explorer context menu in the open and save dialog, so the emo and goth among you will be
thrilled.
People
that are just up at night and don't want lots of white space blasting into your eyes. Yeah, let's say that.
Notepad will finally go beyond the Windows line endings, carriage return line feed. In this new build, Microsoft now supports Unix or Linux line endings.
Oh, wow.
And Macintosh line endings.
Okay.
Very cool. Unix uses LF,
right?
A line feed, okay. And Mac uses a carriage return only.
Oh, just CR, no CRLF.
Not CRLF.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To say this is long overdue would be a massive understatement.
Decades.
Yeah, like decades. Speaking of Notepad, you can now highlight any word or phrase in the app and search for them with Bing. Bing! Search previews have expanded to support apps, documents, and so on. The search experiment is also now wider. Excuse me, the search experience is also now wider, and Microsoft is promising the previews will be updated and improved over time. In Start, you can now name your tile folders. Just drag one tile on top of another. When you expand the folder, you'll see a new option to name it. The Settings app now uses Bing to answer most common questions. The FAQs are meant to help you complete configuration tasks. Clicking on these questions will take you to Bing.com for the answer. Now, these are all currently in the build 2018, which is announced. It's a preview. It's not available to the general public yet, but this is what you can look forward to.
Interesting.
Hopefully.
Right. So are you hot for the new Windows preview? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
There's just so much other eye candy that they can keep adding on to this stuff, and then they're going to run out of stuff.
Well, the problem Microsoft has, and has had for a long time, is that people are complacent with Word, with Windows.
Right.
Right? I mean, and with Word and Excel and PowerPoint. When you have, when you only had mostly the option of Windows, Microsoft won.
Yep.
But now you have Macs, you have iPads, you have Chromebooks, you have Android tablets.
The universe is much wider now.
You have Neverware, you have React OS. Mm-hmm. Have you seen React?
I've heard about it, but I have not played with it.
React OS is an open source operating system that they say will run Windows apps.
Okay. Big if true.
Sort of like Chrome.
Well, Chrome runs Android apps and Linux apps. The new version of Chrome, by the way, will run Linux apps.
But it's the same concept.
It's the same concept.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't seen React OS, you should check it out. It's in like 0.4 right now.
Yeah, but I'm reading about it now. So, yeah, it does look like it's fairly primitive.
But it works. I have loaded it on a VM.
Okay.
It's not fast yet, and it's not
It hasn't been optimized.
Well, like you
yet.
Said, it's 0.4.
Right,
0.4.
It works, and that's amazing by itself.
Right.
But because there are all these other options now, to get back on track, Microsoft has to actually work to get people interested in Windows.
Because they got really good and complacent, I'd say, with Windows 7.
Yes.
Windows 7 was one of their products they rolled out, and it was good from the get-go. They did not have to do Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2 right away like they did with Windows, previous versions of Windows and even Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
There was always, we'll get this Service Pack out and that should fix most of the problems. 7 was good from the get-go.
Yep. Right.
Well, and they got very pleased with that because they, passed that out and corporations to this day are still running some Windows 7.
Yes, they are. And that's Microsoft's problem.
Well, they kind of shift. The pendulum shifts back and forth. So for every Windows 7, you also have a Windows Vista that pops in and changes a bunch of stuff.
Sure is that.
And stirs the pot and makes things that used to be kind of stable less stable.
Right.
And I think that the challenge is that what people want, and I put myself in this category too, is they want an experience that's predictable. And Windows 7 was a UI that was predictable. Mm-hmm. The things you'd learned in the past were things that you could apply now. You didn't have to relearn anything. You didn't have to feel confused or uncertain when you got to your machine and sat down.
Yeah. Right.
And to that point, I think people want technology to be an appliance.
Exactly.
They don't want to fiddle with it. Mm-hmm. They just want it to work. It should be like their KitchenAid mixer.
Someday I want to meet the idiot who created the Windows 8 interface and kick them in the shins.
Well, yeah, they were trying to solve many different problems with one solution.
They were trying to solve a problem most people didn't have.
Yeah. And they were trying to show something new and fresh.
And rather than make it optional for the people who did have that problem,
right,
they made it mandatory for everybody and porked everybody off.
It's called the tyranny of the defaults. Have you guys heard that phrase
exactly
before?
That is so exactly right.
Because if you don't know how to change it, then however it looks right now is the way it is.
Right. And always will be.
Do you remember my favorite operating system?
Don't even say it because it'll raise your blood pressure again.
Yeah, I know.
We're trying to keep you around, so don't
but
even say it.
8 was just as bad.
8 was just as bad.
I can honestly say in all the years
the pendulum,
that it's been out, I never installed one copy of Windows 8.
Yep.
I'd take them back to 7 or move them on up to 10. Nope, would not touch 8.
I bought a laptop in order to teach a class that I'd end up not teaching. So I had a Windows machine. It's now a Linux machine. It came with Windows 8. First thing I did was put a preview of 10 on it.
That's right.
I'd rather have the preview of 10 that I knew wasn't working well than 8. Which never worked well. But now Microsoft is saying the problem is Microsoft is victim of their own success. People were happy with 7 and are still using it.
Mm-hmm.
People are happy with 10 and are still using it.
Yep.
The problem is Microsoft doesn't make money if you don't move on to the next OS.
Yeah. Right.
So now they're not going to sell an OS anymore. They're going to rent it.
Yep.
So the next computer, maybe the one after that, but they're working toward it.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a computer, you buy a year's worth of Windows. And if you stop paying for Windows, Windows stops working.
Right.
And
right.
The same for Office. So if you've got a bunch of documents, you can't look at them anymore.
You'll be able to launch the apps and look at your existing documents, but you won't be able to change them. I don't remember if you
can
print
them or not.
Well,
that's where you're going to have to go to something like OpenOffice or something like that that can open up a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet and convert it to that.
But most people don't know about that stuff. Most people think OpenOffice either they don't know it exists,
right,
or they don't think it handles Word documents, Excel documents, PowerPoint documents as brilliantly as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so they aren't willing to give it a try. And because it's free, there's got to be something wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong.
What can it do? Why is it broken?
And the interface looks unusual.
The interface is different.
Different. I was going to say weird, but it's not really weird.
Well, so it is when you buy a new car. The instruments and everything else.
We've been saying that for decades.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time.
It's not like you forget how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is.
You just got to relearn things.
But people are, like you said, people want what they're used to. They want comfort. They want
consistency and predictability.
Predictability and familiarity. And that's the issue, of course, that Google has with Google Docs. Google Docs does everything 99% of people need done.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So does iWork. So does OpenOffice.
Office 365.
Yep. These things all do 99% of what everything 99% of people need to do.
Right.
But it looks weird, and so they can't use it. There are people, if you move some of the icons around in their machine, they can't work it anymore.
Sure.
It just looks different, therefore it must be different.
Therefore, I don't know how to use it.
I don't know how to use it.
Therefore, something I used to know how to do, I can't be confident that this will get me the desired result.
I've had people who've called me up and said, or have trouble. Something's wrong with my computer. You go there. The desktop is different.
Okay.
The background, the picture.
Oh, the wallpaper.
The wallpaper is different, and they're done now. They're done. They don't know what to do. They can't use the machine.
It's
I get it.
Computer.
You're complacent, and that's the way that works. All right. Look, that music tells me we've wasted an hour of your life and ours, frankly, together. But that's okay. We're going to get a chance to do it again. So if you hold on just for a few minutes, we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. It is the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 4 minutes after... 4 minutes after the hour...
Sounds like he sat on something. I'm Dennis Worcester. Yeah. Help me.
We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show. And yes, Steve Ray is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest, in the Badlands, on the mesas, in the arroyos and canyons. We don't know where he is, but wherever he is, he's...
Just look for him on the side of a milk carton.
Side of a milk carton or wherever fine milk is sold. And Dennis has been kind enough to, dumb enough to step in.
That's always a good time, guys.
And take his place. And that's fine. And one more thing for David, one of our listeners texted in to say,
this
is my favorite part when somebody else answers the question. He said, or she said, don't forget Android operating system often leaves files open in the background. So if you were using, for example, Polaris Office, you would need to actually close that app in order to close the file in order to then be able to delete it.
Right.
So that's the other thing you can do. All right, back to the phones. It's our friend Joe from Cheek.
Quahog, New York.
Yeah, there
you go. It is.
What's up?
Yeah, we don't want to have Dave go into another Uncle Dave story hour about that version of Windows, huh?
Yeah, we do not. No, we do not.
We're working on it. We're trying to keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
As far as icons moving around on your desktop and disappearing and so forth,
yeah,
I kind of face that at work every day. I am fortunate to have three 24-inch monitors.
Oh, nice.
Work from plus
nice.
A laptop screen.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I flip open the laptop while I'm in the docking station, it decides to rearrange what frame buffer is where. So it often tends to move my icons around, take the laptop home, plugged into my monitor at home. Oh, more and more shifting. So anyway, and
yep.
They also, at any time my laptop is working funky, they can ask for it to be re-imaged. And then all my desktop icons will go away.
Yeah, exactly.
So, a very easy way to combat that is in Windows 10. If you right-click on the taskbar, you will see the option, the submenu toolbars. And at the end of that, there is Add New Toolbar. Now, this is kind of Microsoft weird terminology for let's add a menu. And what you do is you select a directory, and that now becomes a menu off the taskbar.
Right.
And for me, I store it on central location that they set aside for me to store my files. Users at home, they could put that on their NAS box. So it is totally decoupled from their current, you know, their workstation. And it operates a lot like the start menu used to work. And I put shortcuts on there. I put documents on there, reference materials. It's a whole tree that I've developed over the past couple months. And if I don't care if they come and reimage my laptop because my working stuff is all in that menu structure. I just love that feature of Windows 10.
And speaking right. as a sysadmin, thank you for setting that up so that when we do have to reimage a machine, yeah, that we don't completely mess you up. It's good that you're taking the initiative to make those changes persistent.
Exactly. Now,
yeah.
Microsoft calls that a quick launch toolbar. So if you're looking for how to add that, help on how to add that, it's called the Quick Launch Toolbar.
Cool.
Also, I'd like to tell the folks that during the show, some of us that listen to the show, we convene on IRC channel on Dalnet.
Right.
D-A-L-N-E-T. And we go into the channel sound bites, and we... unfortunately, we don't have the guys in the studio, probably due to the school's firewall.
Well, exactly. We can't get there from here.
Yeah, because I've seen Nick try and join the channel a couple of times, and it's just like, well, he's there, and then it times out, and then he tries again, and it times out. It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Good try, but oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I tried, but you can't do what you can't do.
Cool.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
So if you're looking to add that extra toolbar into which you can put stuff, Microsoft calls it the Quick Launch Toolbar, and you can add Quick Launch Toolbars to your regular toolbar. And it's actually pretty easy to do. You can add shortcuts, files, folders, drives, anything you want, and it leaves them in there. So instead of cluttering up your desktop with a million files, which, by the way, slows down your machine. It slows down boot up. It slows down everything you do. The more files you have on your desktop.
More icons, yep.
The more icons you have on your desktop, the slower Windows runs. So if you put them all in folders, then that's better. But even better is putting them in a quick toolbar, and
right.
then you can... leave them in documents or wherever you back things up. Because remember, if you leave files on your desktop and back up your documents folder, you're not backing up any of the things that are on your desktop.
Right. And on the Mac, we just tell people, back up what's called your home folder, because that includes your desktop
right.
as well. And your
right.
documents.
And Linux, obviously the same
yep.
way. Yeah.
Same type of idea.
Yeah. It gets harder and harder. But, you know, the basic idea is that Microsoft wants people to walk in lockstep. Everything goes in documents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as Dave has pointed out any number of times, QuickBooks doesn't use documents.
No.
It
nope.
uses its own folder.
Yep.
So unless you know that and specifically back up that folder, you are not backing up your documents your QuickBook documents.
Yeah, you'd have to go into QuickBooks and change, because it doesn't default to your normal spot.
Right. So you either have to save the folder it does save to, or you have to change where it saves.
Exactly. And a lot of folks, like you said, you know, we get complacent and just, oh, yeah, it's being saved. They don't really pay attention to where it's actually being saved, and that's where they get confused.
Right. Right. And so, you know, for people who don't walk in lockstep, whether you don't want to or an app like a program like QuickBooks doesn't do it, you have to pay more attention to what you're doing, and you have to pay more attention to where things are and how things are done and what you're doing to keep yourself backed up and safe and protected.
Yep, got
to
pay attention.
Because as Joe was saying, if they reimage your machine, you lose a lot of stuff if you don't have it backed up. We've done that innumerable times over the years. We have to reimage your machine. Is everything backed up? Yes.
Oh, wait.
I've learned to not trust anyone.
We don't where I work. Right. We make a backup for you.
As I say, if you are a systems administrator, you cannot be paranoid enough.
Nope.
So when we don't even ask. We didn't even ask toward the end. We just let's back up everything on this machine. Everything.
Right.
Because we had tons of storage space out on our servers and. In our office, we had gigabit Ethernet connections. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not difficult to do for us, and we're comfortable with it, so we just do it. It's easier for us than to try and worry about missing something. We just make a clone of the machine and then wipe it and reimage.
That's exactly what we would do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we would do.
It's just easier.
And of course, we tried to make sure that every machine was identical when it left. Our place, so that it would be we made sure that every machine was identical when it left our office, so that we had at least a baseline that we knew worked on any machine.
Just like anyone else, we want things to be predictable and stable,
right?
so
the problem is, for 99% of the people listening to us, they are their system administrators,
right?
And they're not prepared to be a system administrator, and they don't want to be a system administrator, and they don't know how to be a system administrator.
And I'll say it again, because they want a technology appliance.
They want an appliance. You're absolutely
right.
They're
not a hobbyist. This is not their way they spend time. This is a tool that they use to do something else.
Right, right. I get in my car. I sit down at a computer, and I'm ready to do anything. I get in my car. I just want to turn the key and go somewhere.
Your goal is to get to your destination.
Get to my destination.
Your goal is to not understand how suspensions work.
Right.
Or to figure out what your fuel economy is.
Right. I don't need the thingamabob or the whatcha jigger or the hoojimadzis. I don't need to know any of that.
It's to get to the other place where I can open the door and be at that place.
Right. Exactly right. And so many people look at their computers that way. They are just a way that they get to email, the web, relatives, Skype, whatever
pictures,
it is,
sure.
That's all they care about.
It's a tool. It's an appliance.
It's an appliance.
And I think companies are trying very hard to reach that segment of the user base. And tools like tablets and tools like smartphones are really moving along towards
They're taking over your typical desktop computer.
Yes, the roles.
Yep. You go into the stores now. You might see one or two desktops.
Sure.
Otherwise, they're all laptops.
Right.
Everybody wants the portability and be able to move around. And like you said, they're doing most of it through lesser gamers or that type of stuff. They're using it just to do their emails, maybe write a letter or two, and be able to, do Facebook, YouTube. And they'll all do it.
Right.
Right.
Whether it's a Chromebook or a regular HP laptop or whatever.
So, switching gears a little bit, we were talking earlier about dictation and software and interaction. And one of the things that I remember, again, as being a college student in the 90s, I was always reading about, what do they call that? The papers that the IEEE would put out, the standards bodies.
Yes.
So you'd have things like, here's the official standard for RSS, or here's the official standard. The RFCs, the request for comment papers of here's how these things are supposed to work. And it just seems that I'm not seeing as many of those kinds of things for the standards of here's the standard for how interacting with a AI is intended to work. Here's the standard API rules that all of them should follow. a lot of those seem to be based on which manufacturer is producing it. So it's like we're getting back to the bad old days where IBM controlled everything. And if you wanted to play nicely, you had to make something that was compatible with IBM. So now you have to be compatible with Amazon Web Services or S3, or you have to be compatible with Google's tools as well.
Right.
And I'm just not seeing any standards bodies that are kind of publishing in a non-proprietary approach to these kinds of things.
And I think that's because it's such early days.
Mm.
You know, I don't think that there's... I think that at some point... well, right now, it's intellectual property,
sure.
Right? Everybody's AI stuff is their own intellectual property. But at some point, we will see rules on how to manage those. The same thing was true, for example, with Google Docs. It was, Google Voice. It was a year before APIs came out for it.
Sure.
And that was after it was an actual product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing the same thing with a lot of stuff. There are programs on a Mac that didn't have APIs
right.
for the longest time. And I think it's just because at this point, much of this stuff is still experimental and it's still early days.
Right. But yeah. So in the old days, you'd have a standards body. And I think that was the phrase I was looking for that would define, here's how this is supposed to work. So fundamental things like DNS or networking communications, it was all based on these agreements that companies would adhere to in order to make things interoperable.
Right.
And it just seems like the mindset and the culture at the moment is really not about interoperability. It is really about capture the eyeballs, capture the attention, lock you in to a particular device or environment. And I kind of miss the days when I could get my email on whatever I wanted
right.
and know that it would go.
Right. And it used to be, you're right. And it used to be because it was an open environment.
Right.
If I wanted to communicate with you, I wanted a protocol that both of us could use.
True.
So I created an open protocol.
Right.
Nowadays, it's I've got mine. Screw you, Jack.
Yep. Yep. I think that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. It is very unfortunate. And the problem is it's that it's mostly about money now. And it used to be about getting it out there. It's too bad, but there you are.
Yeah. Well, what can we do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to see the ability to be able to shift and choose the best hardware along with the best software and create the environment for myself that I want to have.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The air drumming is looking good.
Exactly where it needs to be. And you can't see my foot pump on the bass. All right, we're back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Cool. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Well.
More news?
More news.
All right.
And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. There is a new iPhone bug.
Okay.
Crashing people's messaging apps, and all it takes is two texts.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
Yeah. People are referring to it as the black dot bug.
Okay.
Because of the black circle emoji that you see in the text before your message app shuts down. The app goes white, and it can't be fixed by force closing the app or by restarting your phone. The rest of your phone will be seemingly unaffected, although it might be a little slower to work until you fix the bug. The namesake black dot emoji isn't what actually causes the messaging app to crash. It's the hundreds, potentially thousands of lines of Unicode text that come after the emoji that overwhelms the phone's processor. It's all stored and accessed from a website, so it's not something that can be sent accidentally. Luckily, there is a fix, and it only takes a few seconds. You force close the message app, 3D touch the message icon and select new message. Everything should be in working order again, so go back to your inbox and delete the message without opening it again.
Right. Well, and if you are using a phone that's new enough that you have 3D Touch.
Right, right. Apple doesn't have an official fix out yet, but it's expected to have one soon. The good news is it's impossible to send the black dot of death by accident. It requires intent. Pro tip, don't do this. Your friends and family probably won't find it funny, and if they don't know the fix, it could prevent them from being able to text. According to various researchers, the bug originally went viral in India, where people started sending this message through WhatsApp. For WhatsApp, the fix is as simple as force closing and reopening the app.
So if you've got an iPhone 6S or 6S Plus or anything later than that, then you definitely have 3D Touch. If you've got an iPhone 6 or older, so an iPhone 5, 4, etc., then you do not have 3D Touch, and that fix may not work for you.
That won't work for you. So are you worried? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Lisa did from Pittsford, New York. Hi, Lisa. What's up?
Hi there. I have a question. I finally got around to installing password security with LastPass.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I have a question about how secure is it? Because I'm wondering about I believe the owner is Kaspersky Labs.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if, since it's a Russian company, it's like, are we putting our passwords all out there in the hands of, you know, Vladimir Putin to take everything
right,
or
right,
what?
Right, right, right. Well, there are some companies, notably the United States government, who has removed all Kaspersky products, including LastPass and their antivirus stuff from all of their machines. Many people are going to other products like EnPass, ENPASS.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as we know, the passwords, the algorithm that you use in LastPass is based on the password you use to secure your LastPass database.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is only on your own home computer.
Which only you know.
Oh, it's in your head, right, yeah.
Right. Although hopefully you do have it written somewhere very secure in case you forget it. Because
mm-hmm.
if you do forget it, you cannot open that LastPass database again.
Right.
But the point here is that theoretically it gets encrypted on your machine, even if you're saving it out like to the cloud,
mm-hmm.
so that you can use that same password database on multiple machines. It gets encrypted at your computer before it gets sent to the cloud. So the only place that password is in your head. And of course, when you actually type it into the thing, it's there for that second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But so theoretically, it's you know, I won't say 100%, but theoretically, it's good.
Pretty right. strong.
Yeah, they're going to take your password. They're going to run it through an algorithm, and they're going to produce a result. And that result is in the encryption parlance is called a hash. And what they do is they don't send your password to their website. They just send the one-way hash. Now, the thing about the hash is once you have the hash, there isn't a good or reasonable way to turn that hash back into your password. So you can feel confident that your password isn't really leaving your computer. And once they get the hash, then they send you back your encrypted vault. And they never get your password, and your decryption key also never leaves your computer. So those things are both necessary in order to unlock the contents. Again, this is what they're telling us.
Right.
Okay.
So
all
you
right,
should
I guess
be
I,
pretty
I
good.
Feel a little bit more secure. So
there you
thanks.
Go. Yep.
And it's a real pain to switch it all over to something else. So I think I'll stay with it.
Ain't that
what
the
I'm
truth?
With.
Yeah, stick yes. with it. It should be fine. As far as we know, nothing is 100%.
The math is protecting
right.
you.
But yeah, the math is protecting you.
Okay.
Trust the science.
Trust the science. Okay,
there you go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And kudos to Lisa for having used a password management program
yeah.
like LastPass or EnPass or KeePass or any one of those.
That's right.
Because that means that she is A, securely managing her passwords,
mm-hmm.
but B, and more importantly, managing her passwords.
Yes, right. She's actually doing something about it.
So all our listeners,
which
you
is
can
very
be just
rare.
As awesome as Lisa by getting a password manager.
That's right.
Track of these things.
You can be awesome. LastPass, EndPass, KeyPass. There's 50
of them. One password. Sure.
One password. Bunches of them out there. So,
and they make life easier. What people don't realize is it's just it's a step that you take where you list them all. You list the websites that they go to. And these tools, if you don't like having to come up with fresh passwords for each website, these tools will do it for you happily.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is remember that master password, and it will do the rest for you.
Right.
So it really is kind of a
It doesn't
a
get much simpler
appliance.
Than that.
Right. Yeah. All those of you who are complaining who use the same password everywhere because you don't want to remember more than one password, you don't have to remember more than one password, but it should be the password to LastPass or EndPass or one of those.
That's
your password manager. And so go look at them. LastPass is good. EndPass is good. KeyPass, One Password. There's bunches of them out there. And so you should Dashlane.
A great thing to do. A
couple of others.
Oh, sure. Password management and backups, man. Those are the two things you can do to be a smarter computer user that don't take a lot of time, but really pay off in the long run.
And that don't take a lot of effort and that keep you very secure. Exactly right.
And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money either.
But, all the ones we mentioned, 1Password, KeyPass, EndPass, LastPass, free.
Well, some parts of 1Password are free.
Other parts
are a charge. But,
but for the others, they're all free.
Yep.
And they work on multiple platforms, which is nice. So if you've got a phone and a tablet and a laptop and a desktop, you can find one password manager that works across all of them. And that means that you only ever have to put the password in one. Yeah, like I said, I use EndPass, but the important part here is that I can sit at my desk and create a new website or whatever I'm doing and create a user and put a password in it and put that in EndPass. And then a day later, I can be on my phone and say, oh, I want to get at that database.
Yeah.
What was the password? It's in EndPass.
Yeah. And you can also store anything you want in that vault as well. Right. So let's say you are deathly afraid of your pocketbook or your wallet being stolen or that you might accidentally leave it somewhere and it gets lost. You can do things like put your credit card number and all of its information into that vault as well. So that then you've got that in case that goes missing. You can put in text documents. You can put in photographs. You can put in other things that that you want to keep safe and secure. So
serial numbers, all those things that your insurance company wants, serial numbers of all your computers, serial numbers of all your cameras, all that stuff.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, just going back to the credit cards and all that, what a savings that is, too, especially if you're sitting down filling out something. You got to put in a credit card number.
Right.
And
you're sitting in an easy chair with your laptop.
Yeah, you're downstairs, and, wait a minute, your wallet and all that is upstairs.
Upstairs in the bedroom.
Yeah,
yep.
And, oh, shoot, I got to go all the way upstairs.
You just
and get
grab your phone, you pull out the app, type in your password. It says, okay, what do you want to know? And then you go and find that information.
Yep.
And you can take it and read it right off your phone.
And it's secure.
And I will admit that every once in a great while over the last 20 years, I have forgotten to put something in LastPass.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, EndPass. And it angers me now. I admit it.
Hang on.
What do you mean it's not in there? Was I that stupid? Yes, apparently I was. Yes.
No, you just had a weak moment.
I was weak.
But it sure is motivating to get it in there.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I don't screw up for the next year.
That's right. You save yourself that frustration.
That's exactly right. And, so it's those are all very cool programs, and you should definitely be using them, and you should be definitely adding your stuff to them and updating them regularly. And by the way, you can, if you want to, grab the encrypted database from the place you store it on the web, whether you store it in Google Docs or
Dropbox
or iCloud or OneCloud or wherever you put it. You can always download it and save it to a thumb drive or burn it to a CD, and then you have it.
Sure.
And that's also, a good thing to do at least once a year.
Yeah. Well, as often as you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Depends how much stuff you're changing, right?
Right. I do it much more regularly than once a year.
Okay. But, so here's something I want to put out to the listeners with the time that we have left. Give us a call and tell us what technology things have you given your mother or your spouse for Mother's Day that have gone over really, really well.
Great idea.
And, yeah. Or the flip side.
Didn't you get her? And she's ticked
it went
off
over like a really, really
what didn't
good.
Didn't you get her that she's ticked off about, or what did you get her that was a giant flop?
Right,
because
right.
That could be an entertaining story too. So right. Call us and tell us about that. The things that you gave your mom or your wife that that went over really well, that she absolutely had loved, or the things that did not go well. And we'd love to hear about that.
That'd be very entertaining.
I'll actually start.
Okay,
I gave my. My beloved bride, Alaska.
Okay, the Alaska.
I gave her an Alaska.
The lady in the
Echo
cylinder.
Echo Dot.
Okay.
The lady in the can. The little one.
We should probably say cylinder.
What?
Maybe we should call her the lady in the cylinder.
Okay, so, well, she's not in a cylinder in this case. She's in a little, what looks like
hockey puck?
Tuna can
tuna
or
fish.
A cat food can. And she was like, anyway, I'm never going to use this. And then that very night we were sitting down and I said, and she said, we should probably call our daughter.
Okay.
So I said,
Alaska,
call. And it did. And she couldn't get enough of it after that.
You opened Pandora's box.
The killer app, right?
Right.
That's
right,
the reason why you buy the hardware, is to be able to do this particular function.
That's exactly right. And then, we'll sit there and she'll say, fine. Some kind of music. I said, what do you want to listen to? She said, well, how about smooth jazz? Alaska, play smooth jazz. Boom.
Finding Jazz 90.1.
No. Finding Jazz 90.1, and up it comes. And it's you can actually say, play Jazz 901 on TuneIn.
Okay.
That's the one that consistently works for me.
And Alaska will go find that.
Alaska will
things.
Find it, and so will Google Home. I have not tried it on Siri.
Okay.
Excuse me, on the...
On Shlomo.
And Shlomo.
Well, what
we'll
the
put
heck?
Up get the HomePod. We'll get your decoder rings ready.
Hello,
we'll come
Siri.
Up with
right.
So, yes, listeners, tell us about that. So the thing that went over really well, and this wasn't a Mother's Day gift, but was back in 2010 when the original iPad came out. And I stayed up late one night and got up when I knew that Apple was going to be taking orders. And I did not really have... marital permission to make this purchase.
That's dangerous.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was kind of rolling the dice here, and I said, well, I'll try this. And I said, well, it's a kind of fresh thing. If I get in early and it turns out it's ridiculously expensive and it turns out to be not something that's going to work for me or my family, I'm sure I could flip it and turn it into at least get the money back out of it that I put into it. So I order it. I casually mentioned it, and I said, yeah, so iPad, man, those things look really great, you know. I'm going to go try that out and see how it looks. And I'm kind of raising an eyebrow and looking over at my wife out of the corner of my eye to just judge what the reception's going to be. So it gets here and she's you know, doing her stuff and looking over. So, you know, how's that thing? What's it doing? And I said, well, it's pretty cool to be able to do this and manipulate things directly. And later on, she grabbed it. And, boy, I never got it back out of her hands after that.
That's the truth.
That was a great one.
That's the truth.
So
all right, we're going to take
stuff.
What?
Callers, call and tell us about what's going on with you.
Yeah, give us a call, 585-9. Well, we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1. Computer problems? Get answers from the experts. Sound bites. Noon to two Saturdays. Only on Jazz 90.1.
What?
We've got Herbie Hancock and the jazz in the background.
Right.
Guitar.
Exactly. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have a question that came in over our text system.
Yeah, this right, is Dave. A double one now.
Here we go.
It says, do you have any experience using the CodeWeaver.com? And they give the whole thing, /product, CodeWeaver.com, /products, /crossover Chromes. Software to run Windows programs on a Chromebook. I am interested in running Quicken. Would this require a Chromebook that also runs Android apps, and if so, the soon-to-be-released HP X2 be a good candidate? Would 4 gigabytes version be sufficient? Lastly, are there any specific specs to look for? 32 gig SSD card. Let's see, on the cards for the HP X2 support.
Okay, first, half these questions we can't answer because we've never done this.
Right.
Because crossover for Chrome OS is still in beta. But the basic idea behind crossover in general is to allow you to run Windows machines.
Windows
crossover
apps.
On what?
Windows apps.
Windows apps on non-Windows machines. So crossover from the company CodeWeavers. Crossover, it runs on Macs and it runs on Linux and lets you do all that stuff.
Right.
There is a beta version of crossover for Chrome OS, which lets you run Windows software. Now, you have to have an Intel-based Chromebook.
Okay.
So that's the i3, the i5. You know, it can't be you can't run it on the Atom processors or, you know, the it says Intel-based, so it's really an Intel i thing. I don't even know that it will run in the N series.
It looks like it's been out for about 6 months. We're yep. reading carefully here, and it's available on the Google Play Store if you want to go get it. I don't see a price listed here, so it may not cost you much to get involved with it. But if you go over to the CodeWeavers website, you can learn more about this, and you can even sign up for their
newsletter
so that you can be notified when important advancements are made.
Right.
So they've got a whole section about what runs on their website, and I imagine that would be a great place to go and talk about that. What was it, Quicken, that they wanted to use?
Right. They wanted to use Quicken, and I would certainly ask them. Like I said, it's still in beta, so I don't have a lot of knowledge. But I would suggest you want a minimum of 4 gig of RAM, and you want a minimum of a 32 gig hard drive. But don't forget, every Chromebook I've looked at has an SD slot.
Right.
And so you could stick a 256 gig SD card in there
mm-hmm.
and save all your data to it,
okay.
which also makes it easy to pop it out of there, put it in your main machine, and back it up.
Or just an external hard drive. Run that through the USB card.
And you can run that through the USB card.
I mean, you
card.
Could sit there and have, you know, a 1 terabyte portable drive for use it for backing up, grabbing photos, say, and pushing them on up to the cloud.
Right, right. But yes, crossover is available for the Chromebook. It is in the Play Store. So if you were to go to the store, you know, the little Play Store in
mm-hmm. yeah.
the Chrome store.
Are they charging
web
for
store, I think
access
they call
to the
it.
Beta?
It doesn't look it.
Nick's got his Chromebook here.
I've got my Chromebook here, and I'm looking. I don't generally add things to it, so I have to go find the
store.
The store here, it's in here.
Okay, so
and there it is, Google.
Generally, things that are in beta would not typically be something that would cost money.
No,
that's
yeah, there's
books.
Yeah,
but we can find out more about it.
I don't know where I hit it.
So
that's interesting.
So it looks like it's a emulation layer that allows you to run Windows apps. According to the CodeWeavers website, it looks like Quicken does work on lots of different versions of their products. Specifically with Chrome OS, I'd say it's probably worth a try, even just to see if it would work. But I can't guarantee compatibility yet. And again, with the beta, boy, things are kind of up in the air with that until it gets locked down and released as an actual product.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would trust that with my finances.
Yeah.
If that's stuff that's important to you, then that.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't know either. I don't know that I would do that. I seem to have lost the store. I'm sure I put it somewhere.
Website and tap on the Get It on Google Play button.
Yeah, maybe.
Does that send you to the?
Oh, sure. That worked.
There you go.
So there it is. It's free to install.
Okay.
159 people have given it four stars. Blah, blah, blah. It is still a beta. Seamlessly run full-featured Windows software. Interesting. And for now, at least, it's full support. Oh, there is a compatibility thing at codeweavers.com/compatibility.
Okay. We can learn more about that.
So we will learn more about that. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Tom from Brighton, New York. What's up, Tom?
Yeah. So I've been using CrashPlan up until now. As you know, it's going away. They're ending their support.
Yeah. The consumer level support is going away.
My own subscription ends in actually June.
Okay.
So I've sort of decided to go with Carbonite.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what you think about Carbonite. And second, one thing a CrashPlan allows you to do is you can back up to the cloud, obviously, and also to a local external hard drive. So you have your backed up data right there. If you wanted it,
mm-hmm.
and restoring is a bit faster going from a drive to your computer rather than going from the cloud back to your computer. So does Carbonite provide that as well?
Right.
Yes, Carbonite does provide cloud backup. Now, I don't think Carbonite is free.
No, it's not.
Free. No.
But the question was, does it also allow you to back up to a local device in addition? Some places, Backblaze is another similar company that offers backup services, and they are cloud only. They don't allow you to do local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're researching here with Carbonite to see what we can. CrashPlan started releasing information last summer saying that they were going to start discontinuing the consumer version of their service. And you had the option to migrate to their small business version where the pricing was slightly different. And they recognized that and offered a significant discount to their customers if you wanted to jump over. And they were going to offer that to you for a period of time and then roll you back into their typical plans, which was nice of them. But they recognized that the small business group was really the type of customer they wanted to serve, and were getting ready to phase out the services that they offered for the general public.
Yeah.
So we're checking for that. The alternative companies... It's become trickier to find places that let you do local backups as well as cloud backups. And CrashPlan was kind of unique in that way.
Yeah.
The other thing that they did that was kind of interesting that other places didn't do is they let you back up to another computer. And that might be a computer at your friend's house across town. So you were able to get that off-site backup, but without having to pay for the cloud subscription. And that was something that we really liked about CrashPlan for many, many years, and something I'm kind of sorry to see go. So what have we learned about externals?
No, it doesn't seem to. It talks about how to back up from external drives, but it doesn't seem to allow you to back up to a local drive. It's a
cloud service.
The
concern there, of course, is if for some reason you're cut off from the internet, you know, when you need to restore your data, you won't be able to do it.
Right.
Well, that is true. Although it is easier than ever to get internet service, and depending upon what type of device, whether it's a desktop or a laptop, getting internet service is not terribly difficult, even if you have to take your laptop to some local hotspot to pull down the file or two that you need most.
I don't think they let you do that, but they do say that Safe Prime customers, which I assume you pay a lot of money for, also get the added benefit of having a copy of their backed up file shipped to them anywhere in the United States with their courier recovery service.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think that's primarily aimed at businesses.
I suspect that's gotta be running
right away. And are willing to pay whatever number of dollars it is. Usually it's not an awful lot of money. And then they usually get stuff FedExed like
next
day.
But the best courier I know is me.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, Carbonite looks like a decent service, and I'm sure that they would be happy to
Yeah, but I do not believe that it allows you to back up locally.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sorry, yep.
Thanks for calling, Tom.
Yeah, Carbonite, nice program, very good feature set, but I don't think it has that feature.
Right. Yeah, no, like I said, it's gotten to the point where they're really going cloud only. They're developing the data centers that they need to run this service, and they want to kind of get you on board for their subscription pricing and keep you protected.
And
they can't control the hard drive that's connected to your computer for that local backup, but they sure as heck can control this data center that they've got. So that sometimes that's a better alternative when something is as important as your backups.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And to go back to crossover Chrome OS, it says it requires an Intel processor and Android 5.x or later.
Okay.
I don't understand why it needs Android to back up to a Chromebook, but apparently it thinks it does. So, not sure what that all means.
Okay. We'll have to find out.
I guess I will. I will find out. I just don't have that at the moment, but I will. All right. That music tells me, the very faint music tells me that we have reached the end of another show. I want to thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's better. Much better. Thank you so much.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm old. My ears are Woodstock ears, and so I have tinnitus. But I want to thank Dave Enright for I don't know what. I want to thank Dennis Worster for stepping in and taking
help,
over for Steve. Always a joy to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on a straight and narrow, and we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours.